You are now tuned into Big Market Bites.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone, and welcome to Big Market Bias. Coming at you live from the West Coast, I'm Cameron Green. And coming at you live from the East Coast, we've got Peter Dauber. What's happening, Peter?
Oh, a lot is happening, Cam. You know, I can't help but, the big topic on my mind today is transformation, is changes, is self-improvement. You know, we're all striving to be the best version of ourselves. And it's a never-ending climb. You know, you can always improve. You can always get better, no matter how good you are. So even if you are recording, you know, a bunch of 5x5 games early in the season, and you're coming out here, you know, 7 blocks, shooting amazing, scoring incredibly. Amazingly enough, Cam, there is still another level to go to, because self-improvement is constant. And so the Wemby that we saw just earlier this year was already probably, what, top 50 player?
Outstanding.
Out the box.
Just amazing.
Just amazing. But today, we're here, almost the end of the season's here, and we're looking at a different Wembanyama. We're looking at a guy who has ascended even further. That top 50 guy is now a top 20 guy, maybe? If you don't want to get a little spicy, say top 15. Who knows? But we have a very special friend. We have Chris here today, Spurs fan.
He's joined us before.
Absolutely. We brought him back. So I'm just right off the bat, I mean, what are the, you know, you're watching Wemby day in, day out. What are the things, you know, you're seeing now versus earlier in the season?
Yeah, it's been a very, very exciting season, obviously. I think like we talked about in the last episode, I've never gotten to see generational talent develop. And that first year, you see the skills and see the potential, get your hope filled, and then just, season full of a lot of, tough fights and losses. And, we spoke like 2 games into the season, and it was like, we did a really good job of being like, yeah, it's going to take some time. And then there was like a game where it's like, no, it's happening. And then it's like, oh, 50 losses. And it's like, I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's like a lot of like, I'm not like much of a just highlight watcher unless, run out of time, but I like watching full games, and there's enough happening and growth through the season where it's like, even as losses come, it's like, wow, I saw that cool stuff, and I can see the future. I'm looking into a crystal ball, and it looks good.
That's great. I mean, I remember when we first met, it was about 3 weeks into the season, and we were already like raving. I was saying how, I mean, my daughter was super young and still super young in the first year, and how I'm already envisioning her being 10 being like, Wembanyama is the greatest of all time. And I'm going to be like, just wait a little bit longer, but I can't argue with you. And, in the past when I haven't had League Pass, I mean, LeBron's my favorite player. If I'm going to watch anything, I'm at least going to go to YouTube and type in LeBron James full highlights and watch every single thing he did in every single game if I can do anything at all. Well, Victor Wembanyama is in that club now for me, where I'm watching every single LeBron full highlights. I'm also watching the Wemby highlights every single game, because it's just nothing I've ever seen before. Absolutely. And it's so fun to watch, and it's alien and foreign. I mean, there is that play against Memphis where he blocks, like, volleyball spikes the shot, runs down, a bad pass alley-oop. He catches it at, like, the apex of his jump and dunks it when he's, like, landing. His feet are, like, almost touching the ground when he dunks it. And it's like, I've never seen anything like this before. His arms are so long. And it's just so fun to watch. No matter the wins or losses, you want to lose right now. You want to get the draft picks. But it's also nice because he's not shooting as much from deep. He's getting into the paint more. The Spurs have been a lot more focused on getting the ball to him when he's in the paint. And there's been some talk about the shooting. It was a little bit ugly at first. His catch-and-shoot numbers were pretty bad, but his pull-up numbers were pretty incredible. And now that's evening out a little bit. I mean, he started off one game, I don't remember which one, where he just pulls up from like 30 feet and drills it off the dribble. It's like, what is this guy's ceiling? It doesn't exist. There is no ceiling.
It's the moon at this point.
Yeah.
You can stack every other NBA player on top of each other, and that would be maybe the new Wemby defense.
Two NBA players in a trench coat. That's Wembanyama. Yeah.
It feels most like a 2K player. Like the most, you know, where like kind of before, like you know, maybe like 10 years ago when they kind of really just let you get crazy with it. And they really just let you like max out all the stats and you could just kind of build whatever not even, you wanted.
Yeah, it's not even career mode. It's create a player.
Yeah.
Where they don't, there's no limit. You can make him as tall as you want. 99 all stats.
It's like, yeah, he can also just kind of shoot threes sometimes and it's fine. Like that.
A fadeaway 3-pointer? Why not?
I like the little clips of like watching a bunch of guys trying to go into the paint in a row and then like Grandpa Simpson meme, like just putting his hat on and walking back out of the bar. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to
That's a little better than the Raptors when he got 10 blocks in that one game. So many dumb shots in that game from the Raptors. It's like, you know Wembanyama's right there, right? Like, he's going to block you two or three times in a row. Like,
that was like a game or two after I got to see him live in Orlando again. And I was like, it's pretty close to, I wish I would have been there for that game. But I did get to see him in person again, which amazing. I saw him at Summer League. And so, been following him around a little. Grateful Dead Wemby fan.
Grateful Dead Wemby fan. I love that. I have some numbers month by month for Wembanyama. I'm not going to include October because that was just four games. Hell, I'll still include it. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 2.3 blocks, 4.8 turnovers per game. And only shooting 46%, only making 1.3 threes, 26% from three. And then the next month, November, 30 minutes per game, 20 points per game, 10 rebounds, 2.9 assists, almost doubled his assists, just like that. 1.3 steals, 2.9 blocks, and only 3 turnovers per game. And he was shooting still only 27% from 3. That number goes up in the next couple months, 33%, then 32%. And then in the month of February, he shot 42% from 3. Just incredible. And this month, he's back down a little bit, back down to 29% from 3. But these numbers, I mean, he's averaging... He went up to 24 points per game in January, and it's come back down to earth a little bit. But his rebounding is up to 11.4 rebounds this month. And his assists, his passing, has just been so incredible to watch. Because he does these, like, no-look things. He does these, like, bowling passes where he underhands it. And you don't know what direction it's going in. And it's so crazy. I mean... I don't understand it. He's an alien still. His turnovers are still kind of high, you know.
There's definitely still some like decision making stuff you're watching where it's like, this a rookie,
right?
Like that, totally. You know. And that's a good thing. There's stuff to build on. It's weird for me as like following the Spurs for the last few years and liking those kind of mediocre teams, liking every player on those teams, and having a team now where I'm just like, yeah, I don't love every single one of these guys. I can see those assist numbers going up, but I don't know if we need to. I love all the, like, I am still, like, bullish on, like, the main guys. Like, I'm a I'm a Sohan defender.
Vassell.
I think after a couple nights ago, he's like Katie's dad, I heard. So
it's harder to love them when there's potential they might be wasting. When it's just like a bunch of misfits running around playing basketball. You're like, hey, you know, look at them. They're having fun. But now it's like,
yeah,
it's exactly. Like, no, Webby, Webby, think what of the future?
Get the ball to Webby.
Yeah, I'm not like shaky about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a typical sports fan either. I'm not like, yeah, I don't know. Having fun. The numbers are fun though.
Who do you want to keep? Who do you want to get rid of?
I mean, I'm still a Keldon Johnson believer. I'm a big Devin Vassell believer. I actually like Trey Jones a lot. I just want him in a backup role.
Yeah, not a starter.
Same with watching the go into some Magic games. So I do live in Florida. It's a hell drive to get from where I live to Orlando. It's this really bad highway called I-4, and there's no train, a good train, and no good train, and it's hard to get to games. But I have gone to some, and I felt the same about Cole Anthony. He's in such a better role as like a backup, and instead of like their starter 3 years ago or whatever. And so anyway, that's how I feel about Trey Jones. But you know, he's a good player. You know, I like him. But yeah, some of the other peripheral folks, there's a little redundancy there on the Spurs, like the. But I think Wesley's really working on his defense. It's fun to watch. The younger guys just have opportunity to run and see what they do with it.
There has been something I have noticed recently, a bit like in the last 2 months for the Spurs, where sometimes it's like they do the Kobe assist, the Spurs do. They're like, oh, Wemby's next to the basket. I don't have an open passing lane. I'm just going to throw up a junk jumper and he'll hopefully rebound it and put it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when Kobe had Bynum and Gasol. And would just shoot the mid-range shot no matter what, and they would just tip it in. The Kobe assist. So now the Spurs are, that's like one another way to assist Wemby is to just throw up a brick. Have you noticed the same?
Yeah, yeah. No, I love the cleanup potential. Also just the like, I'll throw this alley-oop-ish. But really, I'm just like chucking it back. I can't see anything. I'm just going to chuck it down there and hope for the best. Yeah. And sometimes it works out.
Definitely. Well, have you noticed him put on any weight during the season?
I don't know about during the season. I was looking. It just happened today. I've got like the last few years of Slam Magazine. I saw some like pictures of him. You know, in France before NBA and like his NBA, like even early NBA promo photos. I can't remember exactly what part of the season it was from. They had like, you know, in a Spurs uniform. And I mean, he was just really young in the Mets 92 pictures, but yeah, he seems to be like filling out a little bit. I don't know. It seems like he's able to, I mean, he's getting pushed around, obviously, but I think he's doing what he wants to do with his body. I don't think he needs to, like, massively bulk up. Like, looking at him and Chet, it seems like Chet would benefit more from, like, bulking up with what they're trying to do with him.
Yeah. I've noticed a couple of times, sometimes people put their shoulder into him, and he's really good at angling himself, so it kind of mitigates it, and then just uses his long arms to make up for the rest. So,
yeah,
Chet needs a little bit more bulkiness probably, especially if he wants to beat Wembanyama 1-on-1. All saw the Thunder Spurs game. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. Wemby just shut them down at the end by himself practically. Really incredible. And you know, I'm a huge Chet fan. You know, I'm a Gonzaga guy.
Same.
You know.
Same.
I
have room in my heart for all the long boys.
I mean, part of me wants to imagine, like, what Chet and Wemby on the same team would look like. That just would be so ridiculous. But it's not going to happen. They hate each other.
The longest boys in all the land.
Yeah. But how thick do you think Wemby can get?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think it needs like a, I'd like to see like a, I don't know, 10% bulk up, like not more than
10-15%.
Like an
AD bulk up, not a Giannis bulk up.
Yeah, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him Giannis.
Yeah, I think that would look really weird, honestly, if he was just ripped beyond belief. Kind of
thin head,
like thin face. Yeah.
He already looks like an alien. He doesn't need to look more like one.
He's just naturally just a very skinny guy, which, you know, it works, but he definitely needs to, you know, get some weight.
He does.
But I do agree. I think Chet, their rivalry, you know, I think I could just see, I could see the future of, like, the West really going through Wemby for a while and, you know, getting a lot of these, like, Chet-Wemby duels. And I really hope, you know, if, you know, the writers, the NBA writers for next season, they're coming up with new stuff, you know, I would use that. I would milk that for a while.
Chet on the better team, Wemby with a lesser less talented roster. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it writes itself.
They're not going to have the lesser talent for long once they draft Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky. Okay. Then, suddenly, they will skyrocket.
Reed Sheppard. Wow.
Yeah. No, is that not the pick? Is that not the pick? I mean...
I'm a bad drafter. I'm a position-based drafter. I think I'm going Nikola Topic.
Why is that?
I feel like there's a lot of good Nikolas out there. but he's a 6'6 point guard. I want a thick point guard on that Spurs team. A huge point guard.
I haven't done any draft research, so tell me, both of you, give me the case, like why you think that they should draft your guy. Chris, we'll start with you.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm going totally that he's a high mock draft point guard guy, and just his size. I saw this picture of him with like full braces. He looks like a child. I like the, if you look that picture up real quick.
I see it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God. It's the first one that comes up for
sure. 200 pounds. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we need a whole team of these kind of guys, you know, 7 foot wingspan at the point guard, kind of like, you know, they wanted a big guy with Sohan at the point guard. Didn't really work with the skills, but if you got the skill set and the body size, I'm into it.
And are there other Spurs fans saying the same thing? They want this guy Topic, or is this just you?
I'm pretty checked out on the fan base checking right now. I had a couple years there where I was getting a little bit in, and then Twitter went south. I don't really do that anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
And so, and like, there's something about fan bases that's very echo chamber, and like every slight is magnified in a weird way that feels unhealthy to me to be part of. So,
okay.
Like I said, bad sports fan.
No, I mean, that's completely fair. There's a lot of toxic fans out there, and you don't want those voices drowning out the reasonable people. So I totally get you. Peter, tell me about your guy.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say, you know, I do think sometimes it's fun, you know, when you're in that like really toxic culture, and like I know I'm like on Raven's Twitter a little bit, and sometimes the things these guys can complain about are the most minuscule, like things that don't matter at all, and I love getting in there like, yeah, what is this? I can't believe the league would do this, and little stuff like, you know, it's just fun. I'll stand out for ridiculous behavior, on the Peter, behalf you, of First
you made me yeah. think. I love that for you,
Peter. You made me think of Bane from Batman. you think toxic fan culture is your ally, but you merely adopted the toxic fan culture. You were born in it, molded by it.
Okay. Well, as long as you don't break my back over it, then I'll think I'll be okay.
Nice.
But, you know, I mean, I think the Spurs, you know, at least me personally, I'm not a Spurs fan, but if I was running the Spurs, I would say we need a guard. We need someone to put get the ball in his hands, you know, run, kind of do maybe a Kobe Shaq thing. If we can do it, let's go. Let's see if we can do that. Obviously, your Reed Shepherd is there, but the thing is, and I was kind of in on this guy, but Kentucky, are you aware that Kentucky lost in the first round of this NCAA tournament?
Yeah, a bunch of losers.
Exactly. So now I'm out. Not Reed Shepherd. Don't draft him. Okay?
Well, I do have a close friend who's a Kentucky fan, so I always like I'm a bigger believer of Keldon Johnson because he went to Kentucky, and my one friend I talk to about basketball a lot, like, follows Kentucky players. I'd be like, hey, Keldon. Same with my FSU friend and Devin Vassell. I'm not a men's college basketball guy at all, but I manipulate my friendships to say, hey, you're the guy that played at your college that you care about is now a guy that I like.
Yeah, you get the inside scoop on people. But listen, the guy the Spurs need to go for, they need to go for winners. And, you know, UConn, they're the number one team this year. They might win the whole thing. Their guard, Stephon Castle, you know, he's someone I look at. And judging by, you know, the little bit of draft research I've done, he seems like the kind of guy that'd be good. He's a good defender. He, you know, he's got that dog in him a little bit. And that's who you need. Wemby, he's a little quieter. You know, he might not get in your face too much. You know, we don't know, especially because he's going to have to lean down to do it. And I understand that as I'm a tall person when you compare me to regular sized people. So I get that, like, you know, sometimes you have to look down and it's just like, it's not worth it.
Dude, he's 6'7"?
Exactly. You want to talk about big guards. You know, Stephon Castle, 6'7".
Don't you want...
Castle Wemby sounds good, too. And some chests you could do.
Right, so the knock against him, Stephon Castle, is that he's not a very good shooter.
That's okay. That's okay.
We love that in the Spurs. We love bad shooters.
You know, we don't need him to shoot. Wemby can shoot. Okay? It's all good. That's fair. And, you know, shooting can be learned. You know, I'm not too worried about it.
Okay, so the Ringer does have Reed Shepherd going to the Spurs at number 3.
KOC.
Because he's a shot-creating guy.
They're falling in love with losers, you know? You can't take this guy. Well, that's the problem with, you know, Kevin O'Connor, you know, where does he rank on the Oracle meter right now? Probably not very high.
Pretty low.
Yeah. Yeah. So why should we listen?
But I think the Ringer had their draft thing didn't even include like Euro players.
Oh, they did a temporary thing for March Madness where they only included college players. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not permanent.
My toe pick is not on the sites there.
Oh.
So I don't know if the C with the accent is a ch sound or not, so I apologize.
That's okay. Maybe they can get, like, Stephon Castle or Reed Shepherd, and then later in the first round, pick up Topich. Topich.
I doubt it.
Topich sounds best.
I mean, we'll see.
Hope that's right.
You know, thank you. These, you know... Other people have spent hours like dissecting these guys' games and things like that. I've read 2 articles. So, really, we were talking about expertise here. You know, bit of a gap. But my, you know, mostly vibes-based analysis is saying, take the UConn guy. Okay? You know, we're about to see him light it up in the tournament, potentially. We'll see how it goes. But...
I was watching... was watching the UConn women's game, and their mascot just like sits there with the cheerleaders. It's very funny to just have like a giant husky like just sitting on the floor while during the basketball game.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like mascots. They're fun.
Mascots are infinitely more fun when you consider a basketball context. Yeah.
just a real quick sidebar, mascots. My friend's wife is winning our March Madness pool for the second year in a row. If she wins it all, it'll be her second year in a row. And she goes by mascots when she chooses her winners. She goes by mascots.
I thought you were going to say, bring Mavs Man back. As an aside, bring the weird basketball. That's another image search for all the listeners. Mavs Man is a horror, body horror champion.
Oh, God.
Basketball-based man. Horrible. Not at all.
Terrifying.
But for your Cronenberg heads out there, good guy. Mavs Man.
Okay. So recently, Wembanyama had a quote. He was speaking to a French reporter. We're going to play the quote right now on live on this podcast, Big Market Bias. Here we go.
Celui-là un petit peu sur le défenseur de l'année. Comment tu te positionnes toi par rapport à ce titre? Et voilà, il y a ton compère aussi, ton compatriote Rudy Gobert qui peut être devant toi. Comment est-ce que tu juges un petit peu tout ça?
Comment est-ce que je le juge? C'est sûr que ça m'intéresse. C'est quelque chose que je veux gagner dans le futur. Mais bon, je sais que Rudy a de très grosses chances de le gagner cette année et ce serait mérité. Et qu'il le gagne maintenant parce qu'après, c'est plus son tour. Mais bien encore une fois.
So, if you don't speak French, here's a translation. He's responding in French to a question about competing with Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year this year. And what he said, what Victor Wembanyama said is, I know that Rudy has a very good chance of winning it this year, and it would be deserved. But let him win it now, because afterward, it's no longer his turn. I just love it. I love that quote so much. We don't get enough WWE-style like quotes in the league, and we need more of it. So please, Victor, keep those quotes coming in French or English. Doesn't matter to me, because we're an international game. We can translate it and figure it out and talk about it for decades to come. So thank you for that, Victor. What was your reaction when you first heard that quote, Chris?
Well, they call it cutting promos in the business, in the wrestling business, and I love it. I love the energy. I love as a vibes-based person, vibes-based sports fan, just laying it out. And, you know, I feel like a different person could try to say something and puff themselves up with like, you know, I need it now. To be very realistic and be like, yeah, his numbers are good this year, but it's lights out next year and forever for the rest of history is pretty good.
Yeah, how many years in a row will he win Defensive Player of the Year in the future? That's my question. 10, 12, 16?
Voters better take a nap. I'm not taking that voter fatigue.
Yeah.
Any of those years.
I mean, there's only so much voter fatigue allowed. So, I think he leads. I know he leads the league in blocks this year, by over a block.
Crazy blocks too.
Yeah.
Like blocking threes, it's wild to watch.
I've got to say, especially with the way he's been playing lately, you know, the argument for, you know, hey, maybe we just give it to him this year, has been pretty strong. You know, the more I think about it, as like, you know, far-fetched as it kind of seems, the more I think about it sometimes, the more I'm like, maybe we should just give it to him. Maybe we should just cut this, you know, oh, he says next year. Oh, that's nice. But no, actually, let's just give it to him now. Because, you know, there's a good chance he is already the best defender in the NBA. You know, he's in that short conversation. Obviously, in order to really make this argument, I think you'd have to kind of ignore a lot of the beginning part of the season, because he was still going crazy, but he wasn't quite this guy. He wasn't the evolved Wemby that we've seen lately. So
yeah, his timing has gotten better. He did hit a little bit of a rookie wall earlier in the year, I think, too, where he was his stamina wasn't quite there yet. But he caught up, and like in the last month, he has, in this month of March, he has 4.1 blocks per game. In the month of February, he averaged 3.9 blocks per game. So, you know, his rookie season, he's at this point basically averaging 4 blocks per game. Could he get up to 5? I think it's actually going to go down at some point because people are just going to stop challenging him. But, oh my gosh, it's just incredible. I can't get enough of it. If I can push back a little bit, the Spurs defense is horrendous with him off the floor. And it's still only technically like average, maybe a slightly above average with him on the court. And the Timberwolves have the number one defense by like a mile. They're like way in front of everyone else. And Rudy Gobert, obviously, he is in front. He's in charge of that defense. Now, does Wemby have the same athletes that Rudy does around him? No, he does not. But we can make that argument next year. We can make the argument that Wemby deserves the Defensive Player of the Year because he'll start off the season averaging 4 blocks per game.
Is
Edwards a great defender, or is Gobert helping him understand defense? You know,
he can be more aggressive because of Rudy. Also, Cat is a liability, and they cover up for Cat. But there's I'm blanking on the guy's name. He's a defensive first player who plays in the starting lineup.
Jaden McDaniels.
McDaniels. If the Spurs had McDaniels on their team, like Wemby would be even better off. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, ultimately, I think it's probably will be right to give it to Rudy, and that's probably why Wemby made that joke, because it's pretty clearly Rudy. I think, even though I think most of us don't love giving it to Rudy again.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of pushback.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you just kind of have to
throw up your hands a little bit of it. You can't ignore the number one defense like that.
I've come to just accept, like, they're regular season awards, and we want to talk about first round of playoffs and stuff and how that holds up. That's not what it's about.
That's true.
But also, it's just fun to argue about too, so that's what it's built for.
Yeah, I mean, one reason Rudy doesn't get the same respect as like Anthony Davis or Victor is because both AD and Victor can switch out to the perimeter and guard just fine. Whereas Rudy, like, he doesn't get brought out to the perimeter too much in the regular season, but in the playoffs, that's their scheme. They're trying to get him out to the perimeter every single time. So if you can scheme against a defender, is he the Defensive Player of the Year? I don't know.
It'll be fun to see, you know, in the playoffs, you know, when we finally get this great defense, put them to the test, you know, because Rudy has been that guy. Rudy has been so fragile in the perimeter. And that's the fun thing about, you know, tying this all back to Wembanyama, where you look at, you know, Rudy Gobert was, if you go by the awards, he was one of the best defenders of the last decade, maybe the best defender. You could make an argument based on at least the accolades that he was the best defender of the past decade. And now we're looking at Wemby, and it's like he just seems like he's a better version, just a version that can step out to the three-point line and weirdly enough just make blocks that look like he's just like, it looks like he's just knocking something off of a shelf that's like a little bit above him, like it's not hard at all.
Yeah. And stepping out of, Spurs talks are definitely outside of this, but I think we're in for a treat these playoffs.
What do you think?
We're in for a treat. I just think there's a lot of wild card teams, a lot of teams that look good in the beginning of the year that look kind of sketch now, Clippers, and then like, you know, other different teams. Some fun matchups potentially, especially like second round.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Not Spurs talk, but I really hope the Lakers... Well, so, for example, the Lakers' record right now, last year, would make them fourth in the West if they had the same record at this time of year. and instead they're ninth in the West. Unbelievable. If they can get the matchup with the Thunder, I'm not picking the Thunder in that matchup, which is absolutely insane because the Thunder have been the superior team all year. But the Lakers just seem like kryptonite for them, it seems like to me. I mean, they've beaten them every single time, it seems like. Maybe not every time, but it just seems like a bad matchup for the Thunder. And so you have that a potential 1 or 2 seed who might lose in the first round if they get the wrong matchup. And then you have Minnesota up there that is a 3 seed, having to prove themselves by winning a first round matchup for the first time in a long time. and some good matchups in the East too. I mean, the Pacers haven't looked completely right for a minute, but there's the Knicks if they get fully healthy. There's the Cavaliers, and someone might play spoiler against the Celtics because, you know, they just lost that 30-point lead to the Hawks of all teams without Trae Young.
No idea what you're talking about.
Ewing theory.
The vibes are good. Derek White's in Maine, like, right now, which is, checking out his G League buddy. So, my guy Derek White is gonna keep the vibes good.
Celtics Nation has, you know, we have an extended. It's kind of like, you know, we're like second cousins with the Spurs now or something. It's not like a direct correlation, but it's like, hey, you know, we're on the same side here a little bit.
Spurs fans out of the playoffs for years in a row now for the first time in, like, most Spurs fans' lives, just clinging on to their former guys.
There's plenty of room here on the Celtics bench. You know, we've made plenty of room. Come on, let's go. Let's hop on the wagon.
I was born in Maine. I lived there till I was 17, so just the fact that Derek White was in there is exciting to me. That's what being from Maine's about. If somebody even walks into your state, it's exciting news. It's still like 90% trees, and I love it. But Derek White being in Maine, headline news should be front page news.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, winding us back to Wemby real quick. We have one debate that we need to settle today, and that is it's a very important debate. Is Wembanyama Mr. Fantastic, or is he Inspector Gadget? My argument for Inspector Gadget,
okay, yeah, please.
is he's able to pull out. He's got all these different weapons: this 3-point shot, pull up, spot up, go in the paint, alley oops, tip ins, layups, post up shots, left handed layups. I mean, his left hand is brilliant. Like, he doesn't have an offhand. Then he, on defense, he can steal, he can block, he can shut down your center or your point guard. Any situation calls for it, he pulls out the gadget he needs and go extendo hands and block that shot. Go pull up shot and splash a three. He's got all these devices in his trench coat. We already talked about how he's 2 NBA players in a trench coat. So, you know, to me, he's Inspector Gadget.
Okay.
Well,
Peter, tell me about why you think he's Mr. Fantastic.
Okay. I see what you're saying. If there was a superhero I had to compare him to, I suppose I do think that Mr. Fantastic works. And it's really for 2 simple reasons. First of all, you're dealing with somebody who's his main asset to the team, to combating enemies, is his length. Mr. Fantastic is all about length. That's his whole deal when it comes to combat. And then, you know, you look at Wemby, a lot of what he's doing is just because he's just so much taller than everybody else. And, you know, his arms are freakishly long. And he is, you know, he's basically standing up to the basket all on his own. And I think that, you know, if he's 6'4" instead of 7'4", you know, suddenly we're talking about a much different player. And second of all, CIQ, baby. Mr. Fantastic is also, of course, a genius. And you can see it early on with Victor Wembanyama that His basketball IQ is getting smarter. It's going faster. He's clearly picking up on things, on tendencies of players, on how to play defense in the NBA. He's already improved dramatically from when we first saw him in the NBA. So for me, I look at this is a smart guy. This is a guy who's going to take his opponents down with his length and his brain, which is Mr. Fantastic to a T.
All right, Chris, break up the tie.
Well, I think the points made about the calm intellect are the way I would go. And I think the voice of Inspector Gadget in the cartoon was the same guy that played Max Smart in Get Smart.
Oh, my God.
And if he wasn't, he's doing an impression. But I'm pretty sure it's him. So it's kind of this history.
Yeah.
It might be him. There's this history of kind of a, you know, befuddled luck into getting the right thing done with that voice and that character. Whereas the calm yet just discussed,
brilliant,
measured and destructive trash talking can only come from the mind of a scientific or otherwise genius.
Mm. So you're saying Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta do it.
All right. So what about Mr. Fantastic and Inspector Gadget in a trench coat?
Oh, there we go.
Here's the thing is that if there is a great documentary about the failed 90s Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there?
So if there was like a tax write-off Fantastic Four movie, and all these actors like thought they were getting their big break. And the documentary about it's like, you know, it's a mid-documentary, but it's really fun and heartbreaking to watch.
Jessica Alba?
No, before that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Like 1994. Oh, it was God. Like a Roger Corman production.
Yeah.
And like it's you can look at clips of it. It looks really bad. But they tried to make this movie for like no money before the superhero boom. And I feel like comparing that to, you know, in that case, not Wemby-like at all.
No, because
he's set up to succeed.
Yeah, I think Fantastic Four might be the most tried movie of all the superhero movies. They've tried like four or five different times to make it happen. It just never really works out.
And my beloved Silver Surfer wrecked in that one movie. Just didn't look great, sadly.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I want to hear from the audience. You know, we want to hear your votes. Maybe we'll put up a poll or something. Who you think Victor is most like, Mr. Fantastic or Cap or Inspector Gadget? You know, I'll die on this hill if I have to. If I can watch anything, I'll watch highlight videos. You know, like back in the day, Anthony Davis on the Pelicans has a 50-point game. I'll load that up on the TV, the full highlights. Victor is now daily full highlight video. I watch every single time. He's on that list, short list now. I definitely think I already said that, but oh well.
No, I don't think you did. You know, for me, you know, I feel a little jealous when people talk about like seeing LeBron in college and like, or not college, but high school and like seeing LeBron in like early.
The alternate universe people that saw the.
Where he went to college.
Had to go. That one year.
He went to high school. And the early NBA and all that stuff. And I feel kind of jealous because I was not paying attention to the NBA when LeBron first came around. And that definitely is kind of sometimes I feel like how I'm feeling with Wemby is like finally like a guy this good is here. And like I'm here already and like I get to watch this guy go from like, you know, whatever he is now, which is amazing, to who knows where. And I'm just so glad he's in the West. Don't have to deal with them, thankfully. Wemby, stay in San Antonio. Never come to the East. Absolutely not. Leave the Boston Celtics alone. Unless you want to come to Boston, in which case, Wemby, let's talk, buddy. You want to come to Massachusetts? It's worse than Texas.
Yes, it is.
But thank you for tuning in to Big Market Bias. If you have any strong opinions on anything we said here today, please email us at bigmarketbias@gmail.com. If you hear a credible NBA analyst with a prediction, please send that in to us as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peter and Cam and Chris signing off.